Welcome to Coffee Break with the Dancing Housewife. Whether you're a competitive ballroom dancer, a social dancer, or someone simply wanting to learn more about the fascinating world of ballroom dance, this podcast is for you. So grab yourself a cup of joe and join me for episode 4, Randall Designs with Ken Heron and Aaron Harvey. Randall Designs was founded by Randall Christensen and Henry Vela in Phoenix, Arizona in 1983. In spite of having no formal design training and being completely self-taught, Randy earned the reputation as one of the top designers in the ballroom industry. Randy was costume designer for the first 13 seasons of Dancing with the Stars. In 2006, he earned an Emmy Award for Outstanding Costumes during season 2 of Dancing with the Stars, as well as multiple nominations from the Costume Designers Guild. Sadly, Randall Christensen passed away in 2019 after a battle with cancer. Since then, the company has been under the ownership and direction of Ken Heron, who'd served Randall Designs in many capacities for 20 years. He is joined by designer and creator Aaron Harvey. Mentored by Randall, Aaron has been with the company for 11 years and was formerly a multi-titled competitive dancer himself. Ken and Aaron, I just want to thank you so much for taking a coffee break with me today.
Well, thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Well, let's dive right in. We only have 15 minutes. So first question is, what led each of you to join the Randall Designs team? And when you talk, let us know who's speaking.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, will do. This is Ken. I joined the Randall Designs team back in 2003 when Randy was talking to me about the fact that the company could use more sales and marketing experience on the team. And I had a lot of that experience back in many other industries. So I started out as a marketing and sales specialist for them. And then as time went along and Randy went to do Dancing with the Stars and Henry decided to retire, then I took over as managing partner in 2006.
And Aaron, what brought you to Randall Designs?
Well, actually, my story is a little bit longer than that. When I was actually dancing as a youth, several waistlines and hairlines ago, I was actually very fortunate to have Randall doing all of the clothing and costuming for both me and my pro-am and amateur partner. And when I moved over to England to continue competing and studying, I was kind of forced at that point, due to budgetary restrictions, to learn how to do the sewing myself, because I also was not trained, very similar to Randy. In fact, our backstories are very, very similar. So I taught myself everything I knew based off of deconstructing his outfits and then reconstructing them so that I could see how everything went together.
Well, I'd like to discuss what actually prompted me to reach out to invite you to be a guest on Coffee Break, and that's the unfortunate event that led to your recent social media post. And for the folks that don't really know what's going on, if you can give a little background. First off, the company took quite a long sabbatical from vending at ballroom dance competitions. Can you explain why?
Absolutely. This is Ken, by the way, and absolutely.
Okay.
When the industry or the world opened up again after the pandemic was starting to ease off, we had considered going out onto the road again. However, everyone who did, our friendly competitor vendors who had been going to these events, they were all coming back sick. And the studios that were sending, you know, people to these competitions, they were all coming back sick. And they would come back with like 10, 15, 20 of their staff and dancers sick with COVID. And we thought, you know, we may be over COVID, but COVID isn't over us. And so we decided we didn't want to throw ourselves into that environment. And we also were taking stock of the fact that we were looking for a direction to go in that was inspired by Randy, but wasn't just trying to copy what had been done previously. And so that amount of collaborative time about which direction we want to go took a bit of time, because we didn't just want to throw a bunch of things together and just jump back out there. So our first, other than just the local Phoenix event, was to go to Albuquerque to a event that we had done previously.
Right. Lots of people know what happened. in the ballroom dance community, but lots of people don't. Can you describe what happened?
Absolutely. So this is Erin here. Hopefully we don't bother you by keep telling you.
No, I'd like you to do that. I'd like you to do that so people know.
No worries.
Yeah.
No worries. So, right, like was mentioned, we had decided to go ahead and do this competition because it was one we had done before and we were very familiar with the people that go there. And it was very low-key, friendly, not a stressful even at all. So when we went, we set up as we always had, in this very same place that we always set up in. And we got there the first day, and after we had set up, of course, you know, you leave and you go to bed and come back the next morning. And when we came back the next morning, of course, I walked down to see pretty much the majority of our Latin rack was completely stolen. It was 13 dresses that were stolen. This was very surprising to me because, number one, you know, this is pretty much how this industry has rolled. The vendors will set up in a lobby or a ballroom, and every night you cover your things up, or you still leave your booth there and you come back the next morning, everything's fine. The dance community tends to be fairly tight knit. That's not to say every now and then something wouldn't, you know, go missing, but 9 times out of 10, it was a very logical explanation of where it went or it was found. So this was very shocking to us because this was the first time we'd even heard of this extensive of a theft. It was also very surprising to us because the hotel had guaranteed us that there was going to be all doors locked coming into the facility, as well as that there would be security throughout the night. So it was something that was not to us outwardly going to be risky. And on top of that, I'm a very proactive person of trying to pay attention to our environment. And, you know, when you look up and you see 7 or 8 security cameras in hallways and entranceways and out in the parking lot, you really did feel very safe and secure there.
Right.
So it was quite a surprise. And so, of course, after we had that happen and I made that call up to Ken, we first tried to figure out, you know, we were wanting to keep it kind of, I'm failing for a word, you know, optimistic in what had happened. And perhaps, you know, someone had wanted to try on costumes that didn't want to do it down in the ballroom area and maybe took them and was going to bring them back when they came down in the morning, you know, something like that. Come to find out, nobody knew anything and everybody was upset about it. So we called the police and the police came, and one is very special to us. We had put out on the rack the last dress that Randy had made personally. Yes, he personally did it. And we were wanting to, while we were selling it, we wanted to make sure that it went to somebody who was going to use it and have it and cherish it and know the value of what that dress was. And of course, one of the ones who's gone. So we're very frustrated about that.
That's really heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
It really is, because it was the last, I worked with him personally on it, and it was the last of his physical legacy there. So there was a lot of emotion to that dress as well.
Oh yeah, I'm really sorry. I mean, it's a sucker punch. I'm a ballroom dancer. I've danced pro-am and attended, I have never attended the Rio Grande event, but I've attended lots of NDCA events and they're big. Right now, my husband and I dance amateur and we mostly dance USA dance sanctioned events. So they're a little bit smaller, but even at those big events, I have never ever felt at all like I couldn't trust every single person in the ballroom. I mean, I left my shoes, my bag, my wallet, my phone. I mean, you know, we are just a very tight knit community. We have a very high standard of ethics. We watch out for each other, and never in a million years would I ever think that anyone would steal from me or from a vendor. It's just not something that happens. So I think it has sent a shockwave through all of us in the ballroom community. And on top of that, I mean, I've never bought a Randall design, but I have a lot of custom dresses from other designers. And depending on the style, I mean, just so the people who are not ballroom people get an idea of the feloniousness of this of this theft, ballroom dance dresses can run anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 a piece.
Because it was a smaller event, and it was an event that had typically been a country western event, the price point was going to be very important, not to price ourselves out of the market with this particular group of people. So we priced our dresses and took dresses that we could keep to a more budget-friendly mode.
Okay.
So So we weren't quite as high as you had mentioned, but still, you know, even if you're talking about, you know, $3,500 a dress, it's still a lot of money.
But not even to mention, you know, you can't put a price on the loss of intellectual property. I mean, those are designs that are unique to Randall Designs, and the one dress that was Randy's last design. I mean, that's not anything that you can actually put a price on.
Of course not. Yeah. And that's certainly not the future that we had planned for it either. But right. I do want to kind of press upon everybody, while it is a very shocking situation, I've been playing Hardy Boy Mysteries and trying to talk to people and put two and two together. You know, I still have great faith that the ballroom industry and the people that are involved with it are really great people. And from what it sounds like, there is either a small pocket or a single individual that is consistently going to the events in Albuquerque and stealing from vendors there. So it's a little deeper than that. So I do want to just definitely impress upon each other. I don't want people to walk into a ballroom and immediately look at everybody and say, who here is, you know,
sticky fingers
or whatever. So, but definitely it never hurts to have a little an ounce of prevention, as they say.
Right. Well, and also out of dreadful situations, sometimes you can see the best in people. I've been actually really impressed when you posted the number of people who shared it and who actually expressed, you know, condolences and concern and who are really, you know, sad about what happened. I mean, I think that shows also really the nature of most everybody in our ballroom community. You know, we're all very concerned for one another. And so, I mean, that's, if anything positive comes out of that, that's a positive thing as well. But so I want to get to the next point, which is how can people help you? I know you're hoping to recover the dresses, especially Randy's, but is there anything folks can do to help with this investigation?
Well, this is Ken. Probably what they have been doing is very important. The fact that I saw a couple dozen people, you know, share the post, so it's getting out to more and more layers of people that we wouldn't be able to reach. So certainly doing that has been huge, and continuing to, you know, to do that. If somebody thought that they had seen a dress or had been offered a dress of ours for sale, if they were able to, you know, contact us at our company phone number and say, hey, we're at this event, we think this is going on, at least we could start, you know, getting the authorities involved in trying to find out, you know, at what stage of the sale this is being sold from the original perpetrator, or whether this is now a second or third generation of sale that's already occurring.
Okay. Finally, where will you be vending next?
Well, that is a good question at the moment, because the rack is not a travelable, if that's a word, rack at the moment, because there's such a huge hole in the Latin dresses. Right. And so we don't want to show up with, you know, 25 or 30 ball gowns and a half a dozen Latins.
Sure.
So we're sort of on a pause until we can recreate some of these dresses.
Okay.
Our hope is, and our soft schedule is to do an event that's also in Albuquerque, as fate would have it, is coming up in
September,
which has also been a really good event for us, a little bit more country western
focused.
Of course, we're a little gun shy about
right. You
know, Albuquerque, in case there is somebody who's local to that area that's...
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm ready to go. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
We're going to show up. I'm going to be hiding in the bushes.
Well,
locked and loaded.
Yeah. That's exactly yeah. Right. Until that happens, how can ladies shop your designs?
Well, they can certainly go to our website. And if they find something on our website that they like in particular, you know, that's certainly for sale. But frequently, it's a springboard to them ordering a custom dress from us, because they'll see a dress that has certain elements that they like and they want it in their size, or they want it in a different color. You know, they want it with sleeves, without sleeves, whatever it might be. And so that would be... the best way that I can think of at this point. Certainly if they are local, or if they're planning on coming into Phoenix, we would love to host them and spoil them if they come into our offices and they can look at and try on what we have here.
Okay.
As well, they can also reach out to us on Facebook, very similar to the way you did.
Okay.
Or like Ken mentioned, they can visit the website at randalldesigns.net and just contact us through there as well. So we're pretty approachable.
Okay. Yeah, you seemed pretty approachable when I got it, when I reached out.
Oh, absolutely. We were very thankful that you reached out. So
great. Well, do you have anything interesting, like non-ballroom happening?
Yes, actually, we have been working with BYU with some of their formation team outfits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and absolutely. Honestly, even despite, you know, the fact that we're going to be having to sit home from traveling, you know, vending at events, we always have something that's going on here, whether it's ice skaters or if it's local entertainers or pageant girls or just about anything. We almost always have our fingers in some project going on at some point or another. Just obviously, as Ken mentioned, right now our focus is going to be trying to really zero in on the Latin dresses and get those back out again. So
right. Well, I really appreciate you gentlemen taking a coffee break with me today, but that is all the time we have. So I want to wish you a great day, and I will be sure to put contact information in the show notes, and I will post photos of those dresses to my blog. And unless there's anything else that you have to say, I think we need to sign off.
Just happy dancing to everybody, and keep looking to the positive side of people.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you're enjoying Coffee Break with the Dancing Housewife, click the share button, leave us a review, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And until next time, keep on dancing.